Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at North Hollywood First United Methodist Church. This morning is All Saints Sunday, the Sunday when we stop and remember those who have proceeded before us into the kingdom of heaven to be with God eternally, and also to remember those who have had a good influence upon us, those who have shaped us as people, and those who have shaped us in our faith. The time when we remember not only the faithfulness of God, but we remember the faithfulness of God's people. As we prepare ourselves to come before God in worship and to remember the company of heaven that surrounds us, a couple of housekeeping things. I invite you to record your attendance in the red folders that are present in the pews. And I also ask that we would take a moment to close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, and prepare ourselves to come into the presence of God. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we might enter into your presence to offer our thanks and praise. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, I invite you to stand up and let's join together in our opening hymn, number 702, Sing with All the Saints in Glory.
Let us pray. Lord, we gather here this beautiful day in praise and thanksgiving, this All Saints Sunday, to thank you for the many good memories of loved ones who lived in faith and died in your arms. We are grateful for all the wonderful things you have done for us. Help us this morning to soften our hearts and stretch our souls to be the faithful disciples in all that we think, do, and say, that your great love may be revealed and offered healing to all people. Teach us to live as saints that you have called us to be, that we may truly be your people, living and doing your will, in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You may now please open your bulletins, and we will join together in the call to worship. The earth and all that is in it belongs to the Holy One.
Look, this is our God, for whom we have waited.
Will you come to the hill of the Holy One?
Come, seeking the face of God.
Come, let us worship. May be seated, and if you'll now please grab the Faith We Sing, the black hymnals in your pew pockets, open to number 2254, In Remembrance of Me.
Will you pray with me? Faithful God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, you are the beginning and the ending of all things. In your word, you have promised to wipe away every tear. And you have promised that one day, that death and mourning will be no more. You have made your home among us, and you abide with us as our God. And we confess that we often lose sight of your presence in our lives and in our world. All too often we wander in wildernesses of our own creating, when opportunities to serve you and to make commitments to your service are given. God, we consult our calendars to see if there's anything else that we have to do. Lord, we confess that we place our needs and often we place our schedules before our service to you. So we ask that you would help us to reorder our priorities. Lord, help us to look again at the wonderful opportunities you give us to serve our neighbors. The opportunities that you give us to serve you with others. The opportunities that you give us to reach out, to heal, and to help. Lord, we come in here and we need to feel within us the light of your love again. Heal our wounded souls. Heal us so that we can love you truly with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, give us the courage and persistence so that as disciples, your great love and glory may shine through our deeds of loving kindness, through the words of love and devotion that we share before you. Lord, we come in here with prayer requests upon our hearts and upon our minds. We continue to pray for Jewish communities across the United States. Lord, we ask that they would feel solidarity with their neighbors. They would know that they are not forgotten, that they would know that they are valued, that they are loved, that they do not have to live in fear. Lord, we ask that we would find ways to stand against anti-Semitism in any form that presents us. Lord, we give you thanks for so many who showed up to support our local temples and synagogues, in particular those who were present at Temple Beth Hillel on Friday night. Lord, may this be a movement that grows not just for our Jewish community, but throughout our society to combat the divisiveness that has sprung up within our conversations, within our politics. Lord, that we might put an end to hate. That we might cool angry words. That we might find what we have in common and focus on that more than what divides us. Lord, there are also prayers that you people have asked us to pray. And there are those things that we need as individuals. So, Lord, we know that you have bent your ear close so that you might hear us. And we offer up our prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Teach us to live as the saints that you call us to be, that we may truly be your people, living and doing your will. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. All of God's people said, amen.
The offertory this morning is inspired by the widow's mite. Jesus' teaching refocuses our attention to what should be important in life. Too often, we allow the riches and treasures of this world to consume our thoughts and actions. We come to believe, even those of us in church, that the most important thing is making a name for ourselves and receiving praise from others. In Mark 12, verses 38 through 44, the good news of this text is that Jesus then gives guidance as to how one might remember what the correct focus of life is and how we might store up treasures in heaven. Put in 21st century terms, Jesus sits down and watches the morning collection plate pass down the aisle. As he notices a woman sitting at the end of the pew, she really does not fit into the affluent congregation in this particular city, and she seems a bit out of place. What is amazing about this woman is that she doesn't seem to notice that she doesn't fit in with the crowd around her. She's there to worship, and her eyes, heart, and spirit are focused only on God. When the offering plate passes by her side, she might have noticed that the plate itself probably costs more than what she made all week. But she faithfully puts all that she has into the plate out of worship for God. Giving must be an act of worship, and worship must involve the giving of ourselves to God. This is a story that reminds us that the institution and the society can never determine our paths of worship. Worship must be about our total devotion and trust given to God, who has first given everything to us. A time set aside for worship is really about stewardship. Stewardship of what God has given to us and how we can best put those gifts to use by giving them back to God through worship. In the truest form of worship, we follow the example of the poor widow by giving all of ours to God, as the ushers now wait upon the congregation for this morning's tithes and offerings. God, you call us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We seek to focus on you as our highest priority. Help us to make lifestyle decisions based on your commandments, Lord. We, your kingdom seekers, offer you this money as a means of placing you first in our lives. May these gifts provide ministries of love and compassion to our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning I will read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any question. The word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God.
So in the world of entrepreneurs, if you spend any time among entrepreneurs, you're going to hear this concept of an elevator speech. Anybody heard that term before? All right. So a lot of you have heard the term of the an elevator speech. But just to make sure that we're all on the same page, the elevator speech is a memorized bit that allows you to explain who you are, what you do, and why you do it in the time that it takes for you to get into an elevator, go up a couple of floors, and get off. They say that elevator speeches are supposed to be anywhere between 30 seconds and 2 minutes, but the closer you can get it to 30 seconds, the better. And you use these speech as ways of promoting whatever it is that you're involved with. It's whether you are trying to get a new job or whether you're working on a project or whether you're developing a new product. All of these things are a part of why entrepreneurs have these little speeches. We get on a plane and someone says, "What do? You turn to them and your elevator speech kicks in. When you meet people and they say, tell me a little bit about yourself. The elevator speech clicks in. And it's a way of expanding one's market. It's a way of expanding one's community. It's about making connection. So if someone were to turn to you and say, "Tell me a little bit about yourself," could you do it in 30 seconds to 2 minutes? Have you ever in your life tried to develop some form of an elevator speech? Okay, I'm gonna take this a step further because we are in church. It is the sermon. And if you were someplace and someone were to turn to you and say, "You know, you go to church, you're a Christian, right? Tell me, what is it all about?" Could you answer their question in 2 minutes or less? How's that for a challenge? And I have to be honest, because I've been trained to teach people the Christian faith, and I'm not sure if I could answer that question in 2 days, let alone 2 minutes. But I do have an initial answer. And it's an answer that I hope would spur deeper conversations with people. And the answer that I have, my little elevator speech in regards to the Christian faith, is actually based on this morning's gospel reading. Today's scripture reading, we've kind of fast-forwarded into Jerusalem. For the last several weeks, we've been walking with Jesus and the disciples. We've been on our way towards Jerusalem. And today, we are here in the holy city, and Jesus' interactions have changed. You see, a couple of days earlier, he's entered into Jerusalem, and the whole triumphal entry has happened. Then the next day, Jesus comes back into town, and he clears all of the merchants out of the outer courtyard in the temple. He's overturned the money changers' tables, and everybody's thinking, "Who is this guy that has come into Jerusalem?" And now Jesus is back at the temple, and people are coming out to him and asking him questions. And some people are coming because they're hoping to trap him. They're looking for a reason to arrest him and to spirit him away and to calm the crowds this Passover week. But others are coming with questions to figure out who this man is, what he's about, and what he is up to. So we pick up the story where Jesus has just completed an argument with a group of Sadducees regarding the resurrection of the dead. And one of the scribes that is standing in the crowd overhears Jesus' responses to them, and he notices that he... I'm not sure what that was, but hopefully it won't sneeze at me again. But one of the scribes overhears the argument, and he notices that he likes Jesus' response. Oh, I like the way this guy is talking. And he probably likes it because Jesus has affirmed his thoughts regarding the resurrection. So he comes and he approaches Jesus to ask a question. And unlike the Sadducees who were looking to trap Jesus, this man's question comes as a test. As a test to see who this person is. So the scribe asks, which commandment is first of all? What commandment is most important? And it's a test, probably because he wants to know what school of Judaism Jesus belongs to. And the way that Jesus answers that question will reveal much about how Jesus reads the Torah and his understanding of how God wants us to live. Now, as I said, Jesus has already shown that his teachings fall more in line with the Pharisees and the scribes than with the Sadducees. Sadducees were people who only held to the first five books of the Bible, and they were people who did not believe that in a resurrection of the dead. Whereas the Pharisees and the scribes affirmed that idea that there was life after death. But is he a part of the school of Shammai or Hillel? And yes, these are names that you hear all the time every day, right? Shammai and Hillel were the two largest school of rabbinic Judaism at the time. One was very strict, and one was kind of perceived as being more of a looser, liberal, outgoing style of the Jewish faith. Now, Jesus doesn't delay with his answer. He says, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, I'm going to ask, if you guys were to open up Exodus chapter 20 and look over the list of 10 commandments that God gave to Moses, would you find this commandment? A trick question, because the answer is no, you wouldn't. It's not one of the Ten Commandments. So where does Jesus get it? He gets it from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. And the passage marks the beginning of a prayer that most Jews prayed every single day. And the prayer is called the Shema. Jesus responds with this opening into the Shema. And then he adds a second commandment. Even though he wasn't asked for a second commandment, he gives one. And he says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than thee. And again, this commandment is not found in the Ten Commandments. Instead, you're going to find it in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And to follow the Shema with this commandment identifies that Jesus is more in that Hillel tradition of rabbinic Judaism. And that might explain why the scribe approves of Jesus' answer. Well, funny. You have answered well, teacher. Think you could look at Jesus and say, Jesus, you answered that question well. And as he says, as he's going through his affirmation of Jesus' answer, when he's done, Jesus says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And why would Jesus say something like that? I think he says it because the scribe not only knows those two commandments, he's not only, you know, on the same page as Jesus and understanding that all 10 commandments hang upon the idea of loving God with all you are and loving your neighbor as yourself. But he also understood that observing them was more important than the rituals of sacrifice and the offerings that were given. The scribe says, indeed, these are more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, he knew that God was more interested in what your life looked like in your day-to-day interactions outside of the temple than how well you observed the rituals inside the temple. God doesn't care if you worship traditional or contemporary style. God doesn't care if you go to a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or, you know, Catholic church. God is more concerned with how you treat those around you. God is more concerned about the content of your life. See, obedience trumps penance every single time. Obedience is more important than penance because if you obey, it means that you are paying attention. It means that you are offering yourself to all that God is calling us to do and be. Penance is simply trying to check the boxes to avoid something, to avoid punishment. And I hope that you can hear the rhythm of the encounter that Jesus is having with this scribe. Jesus gets asked a question about the cornerstone of his understanding of God and what faithful living looks like. And Jesus answers it with two basic tenets. Love God with every ounce of your person, and to love others with the same kind of interest and hope that you have for yourself. And again, could you do the same? If someone were to ask you what Christianity was all about, what would you say? Could you answer the question directly and quickly? What is at the very center of your faith? How do you know when you are getting it right? Now, here in the Methodist tradition, we are a people of grace. We believe we come to know God through grace, we are saved by grace, and we grow in grace. This grace comes from God as a gift. But if we aren't careful, we can forget that we are expected to love God because of grace, and to be dispensers of the grace that God has given us. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he would often write about what it means for people to mature in their faith and what a mature Christian looks like. And he almost always returned to the theme of this passage, believing that the mature in Christ love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that they love their neighbors as they love themselves. For Wesley, if a person was serious about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, their lives would be marked by wanting to learn about Christ, wanting to learn about his teachings, and it would be marked by the way that they loved and cared for others. And so that twofold love becomes our measuring stick. It becomes the test of just how well we are following Jesus. And this becomes important because, can I share something with you guys? I'm Methodist through and through. I discovered that when I was in seminary. But my greatest concern as a pastor is not that I would make more Methodists. It's that I hope that the people that I serve alongside, that together we would all become better followers of Christ. And that doesn't mean that we eliminate the elements of our Methodist tradition or that they're to be ignored. It simply means that they are not the very basics of our faith. Instead, we need to focus on loving God with all that we are and loving our neighbors in the same way that God loves us. What would that look like? How might we accomplish that? It's a tough one because even though it's a simple formula, two things to remember, right? Love God, love neighbors. The scope of what that might look like is incredibly broad and endless. And in that scope, there is no minimum requirement. There's no boxes to check. There's simply a life to live. And that life is going to demand everything. And are you up to it? And can you hang with that? So if someone were to turn to me and say, you're a Christian, right, Steve? Yeah. Tell me, what's it all about? I would say something like this. Well, it's about knowing and loving God in the three forms that God presents God's self in. Creator, sustainer, and savior. Or if you want to use the traditional terms, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's about loving everybody, including our enemies, with the same kind of love that God has for us. And that's where I would leave it. And yes, it would take more than 2 minutes to unpack all of that. It would probably take 2 days. In fact, truth is, it takes a lifetime. But these are the very basics of what it means to follow Christ. These are the very basics of what it means to be a Christian. And if we can do that, now the rest kind of takes care of itself. When you stop and you think about those people that have been a good example to you, when you think about those people that have developed your faith, when you think of those peoples that have encouraged you and helped you to understand how God is present with you, how God loves you, and how we are called to love others, this is the mark of their lives. And it's possible that you can even think of a person immediately where you're like, oh yeah, this person, this is what their life was about. This is why there are so many others that saw them as being important, as being impactful. Because they could love God with all that they are. And they could love others in the same way that God loved them. May we be up to the challenge. And may you have your elevator speech ready. Amen.
Though we're strangers, still I love you. I love you more than your masks. And you know you have to trust this to be true. And I know that's much to ask. but lay down your fears. Come and join this feast. He has called us here, you and me, and may peace rain down from heaven like little pieces of the sky, little keepers of the promise on these souls that drought has dried. In his blood and in his body, in this bread and in this wine, peace to you. Peace of Christ to you. Though I love you still, we're strangers, prisoners in these lonely hearts. And though our blindness separates us, still his light shines in the dark, and his outstretched arms are still strong enough to reach behind these prison bars to set us free. And may peace rain down from heaven like little pieces of the sky, little keepers of the promise, falling on these souls that drought has dried. In his blood and in his body, in this bread and in this wine, of Christ to you. And may peace rain down from heaven like little pieces of the sky, like little keepers of the promise, falling on these souls that drought is right. In his blood and in his body, in this bread and in this wine, peace of Christ to you. Peace to you. The peace of Christ to you.
The table of the Lord, the United Methodist Church, is an open table. We believe that all that is desired to come, that is needed to come and receive the free gifts of God, is a desire to receive. Doesn't matter how old you are, how many times you've been to our church, how many times you've been to any church, if you desire to participate, you are welcome. You can follow along on page 13 at the Great Thanksgiving, the red hymnal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, Alpha and Omega, give thanks to you, for you are the beginning and the ending of all creation. In the days of Isaiah, you promised to lead all of the nations to your holy mountain and to swallow up death forever. You have revealed the coming of the new heaven and the new earth, in which every tear will be wiped from our eyes, and all will feast at your heavenly banquet. And so with your people on earth and with all the company of heaven, we praise your name. And we join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You deliver us from the slavery of sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by your Spirit. On the night that he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, and Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, and into these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all of your saints, especially those whom we name before you. I'm going to say a name. A bell will ring. I will say, "Absent from the body," and your response will be, "Present with the Lord." We only have one name on our list of the honored dead, but we will also have an opportunity to name those whom we have lost in this last year. So the first name that I share is the name of Charlie Cox. Absent from the body. And now you have the opportunity to name your loved one that you have lost in the course of this last year. Just speak it out. Absent from the body.
Present with the Lord.
We recognize that many of us have lost, but we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set out before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence that comes from being children of God, let us join together in the prayer which Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, those who are assisting me in distributing the elements, please come forward at this time. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf, and the bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And in the same way, the cup which we share is a sharing in the blood of Christ. It gives us grace, gives us mercy, and it makes us family. you'll be invited to come forward. We'll be serving at the rail where you can kneel or stand. You'll be given a piece of bread to dip into the cup. Feel free to come and receive these, the free gifts of God in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. May it renew within us faith in life eternal and connection with those who have kept the faith and are present with you eternally. Grant that we might go into the world through the strength of your Spirit to truly love you with all we are and to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And together we all said,
good morning. We are your thankful announcement team,
filled with gratitude and all of this month's announcements.
First, be sure to pick up your copy of the November Good News. This one's an 18-page deluxe edition, so make sure that you get yours. If you don't, it will cost us more than a regular stamp to mail out. Also, check the distribution bins for your directory photos as well.
Norman?
Yes, Philip.
You know what I'm thankful for?
You're going to tell me.
I'll tell you right now, Norman. The ladies of the UMW, as they will be cooking for their next boutique on Monday, November 5th at 9:30 a.m. in the big kitchen.
You know something I'm grateful for? Something else I'm grateful for on the 5th, Philip?
What's that, Norman?
The missions team. Their refresh meeting is taking place in the lounge at 7 p.m. And Pastor Steve's going to be there. And if you're feeling called to serve locally, nationally, or nationwide, we'll have an opportunity to share your face-to-face missions opportunities to bring to our attention. Please be sure to attend.
And back to that cooking I'm giving thanks for on November 10th, Saturday, November 10th, is United Methodist Women Holiday Boutique from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the social hall. Baked goods, homemade peanut butter balls, caramel corn, peanut butter balls, and jams. Handmade gifts galore, and all proceeds support the UMW mission projects.
Say, Philip.
Yes, Norman.
A lot of folks are grateful for our monthly Mission Sunday, and that's next weekend. Sunday the 11th, the food pantry is in need of ready-to-eat canned soups. And no condensed soups, please. They will be very appreciative.
Say, Norman.
Yeah?
We can all appreciate community, sharing, being together, quality time. Next Sunday is Community Day. Be sure to join us as we celebrate our community, our church membership, Wesley School, the Scouts, Evergreen Music Conservatory. Everyone are all going to participate in a wonderful service. There will be a reception in the social hall catered by Harvest Moon, possibility of bacon. So shop, and you can shop the UMW boutique, and there is also an important mission project following worship. We are assembling 200, yes, 200 sack lunches for the pantry. And we need our church to represent. Thank you in advance.
We'd be very grateful. Another opportunity we'd be thankful for you to make the most of is the next church council meeting at 6:30 p.m. in the social hall on Tuesday the 13th. It's also a potluck dinner, and all committee members are encouraged to attend.
And I'm thankful this next one keeps going on, Norman. It's become a tradition, Norman. Thursday, November 15th, the PB&J Project meets in the lounge 7 p.m.
Philip, you know what I'm grateful for?
What's that, Norman?
Tea.
Yeah, you like tea, Norman.
I do. On Friday, November 16th, we have tea fellowship. There's an 11:30 reservation at Chato in Pasadena. We'll carpool at 11 from the north lot. Tea.
And there are also several people to be thankful for who give their time and talents to making baby items for All of You Hospital. Monday, November 19th, Tabitha Circle meets at 10 a.m.
You know, Philip, it wouldn't be November without Thanksgiving.
Not usually, Norman.
Well, Philip, Wednesday, November 21st, our church is hosting the Interfaith Food Pantry's Thanksgiving Eve service at 7:30 p.m. As hosts, however, we are in need of church volunteers to assist with canned food donation collection, greeting, ushering, bringing dessert items, and assisting with reception and refreshments. If you are going to be in town on the eve of Thanksgiving, please be sure to join us. We'd be very grateful.
And with all that Thanksgiving, at the end of the month, we are already getting ready for Christmas. So Tuesday, the 27th, you can come and help decorate our worship spaces for Advent. Meet at 10 a.m. here in the main sanctuary.
And it wouldn't be November without the tree lot. Ah, yes. Saturday, November the 24th, we've got tree lots set up from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'd be very grateful if you helped. Wednesday, November 28th, the trees will be delivered. We need a lot of volunteers at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, November 29th, we've got Tree Lot Organization Day at 6:30 p.m. Friday, November 30th, the 21st annual Tree Lot opens its doors to the public at 4 p.m. Yeah, and there's going to be a sign-up, too.
Yes.
Today.
Always and forever. Wow, Norman. I'm grateful we had enough time to do these announcements.
Thank you, Philip.
And I'm sure I speak for everyone here when I say I'm grateful that the announcements are over. So let's conclude this morning's worship with hymn 2197, Lord of All Hopefulness.
Please stand if you're able.
We go forth, may you not only be filled with the love and presence of God eternal, but also with the awareness of all the company of heaven. May our light shine with love, may we be filled with hope, and may we act with strength. Go in peace. Amen.